Land of Light.
In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners, we hereby present you another episode of this series titled Land of Light. Undoubtedly, your company highly encourages us on our journey to the Land of Light. As a reminder, Abdul Muttalib was instructed by God Almighty to unearth the Zamzam well. Hence, he started this job wholeheartedly and with an unflinching determination in the company of his teenage son Harith, while the pagan leaders of the Quraysh tribe tried in vain to obstruct his divine mission. While digging the well, Abdul Muttalib discovered the treasure. The Quraysh tribal leaders wanted a share of it. However, Abdul Muttalib maintained a different view. As of today, we will listen to a new story on Abdul Muttalib's Nazr or vow to God. Harb ibn Umayyah, who was one of the members of the Quraysh and claimed to be a descendant of Abdul Muttalib's ancestor, Abd Manaf, pushed his way through the crowd and came forward. He stood next to Abdul Muttalib and loudly said the treasure belongs to the descendants of Abd Manaf because one of them had discovered it. Harb, who was a pagan, said the rest of the Quraysh tribal leaders should not be after the money which gods have sent us. Uproar broke out in the crowd upon these remarks. The efforts of the monotheistic Abdul Muttalib for calming down the angered crowd remained inconclusive. It seems that only he was not allowed to make any comment in this regard. Although Abdul Muttalib wasn't needy and had no interest in windfalls, he refused to submit to unrighteous remarks. Bowing down to impose pressure marked future humiliations and degradations. Abdul Muttalib was a free-spirited man who had lived honorably all his life and could not bear such humiliation. Hence, he once again sensed solitude and was deeply saddened. The insolent nature of the Quraysh was solely because he was viewed as unsupported. The Quraysh tribal leaders had on several occasions tried to impose their unrighteous demand upon him. However, if he had several sons, Quraysh leading figures would have not mistreated him in this manner. In fact, he was like a commander without troops. Only if he had 10 sons... The muted reaction of Abdul Muttalib and his grandeur gradually silenced the crowd. The initial uproar turned into whispers. Although he was unsupported, Abdul Muttalib was a tribal leader in his own right, which meant that in his absence no legal measure could be enforced. Hence, he should have been heard and listened to.
Abdul Muttalib, what is your comment in this regard?
Hesham, I have said it all. However, since I don't want any problem to emerge, I propose a raffle.
A raffle?
A raffle between what and whom? If righteousness is our basis, the Holy Kaaba has more to possess this treasure than others. Hence, I propose a raffle between the Kaaba, myself, and you.
Thank you. on that day, I forcibly left the job unfinished. My saddened father told me to hand over the tools to our servant, Amr, and to accompany him back to home. I washed up, put my clothes, and accompanied the Quraysh on their way to the Kaaba. On the other hand, one of the officials of the Kaaba also came along, and my father. With the rest of the Quraysh tribal leaders, he climbed up the ladder that leaned on the wall of the Kaaba and entered its interior. I, along with other people, stayed outside, awaiting the outcome of the raffle.
The official of the Kaaba placed three yellow, black and white arrows on a dish and mixed them up. The yellow arrow represented the Holy Kaaba, while the black and white arrows respectively represented me and the tribal leaders. Firstly, the raffle on the swords and shields came out in my favor. Later on, the raffle on the golden statues of antelopes turned out in the favor of the Kaaba. But I handed over the swords and shields for the Kaaba as well. Then I told the crowd that the door of the Kaaba is not appropriate. It is better for the shields to be sold and to build a door made of gold with the money from the sales of shields and the golden antelopes. Soon the craftsmen melted the gold and made a new door. Thereafter, swords were hung on the door as a form of decoration.
It is said that Abdul-Muttalib was the first person who used golden decorations for the door of the Kaaba.
The generosity of my husband was praised by the Quraysh and other residents of Mecca, resulting in his increased status among them. But it didn't solve his problem. I was brought up in the desert and was well familiar with the Bedouin Arabs. At the time, might was right, and all affairs depended on resorting to force. Although the Arabs appreciated good deeds and generosity, they were only obedient to power. Whenever Abdul-Muttalib provided food and clothes for the needy and relinquished his rights for the sake of others, they respected and honored him. However, as soon as he insisted on his rights and stood up against them, this was a totally different story.
The other day, I restarted unearthing the Zamzam despite feeling disheartened.
For sure, if he wasn't ashamed of weeping, he would have let tears roll down from his eyes. He was on his own. Tears welled in his eyes. He placed aside the pickaxe and knelt down on the damp soil of the pit. He raised his hands and prayed in a shaky voice. O God Almighty, you know that I don't walk proudly on earth and don't seek superiority over others. You know that whatever I do is for your sake, but this tribe only submits to power and grandeur. O God of the Holy Kaaba, please pay attention to your saddened servant. I pledge that if you grant me 10 sons, I will sacrifice the best of them for your sake when they grow up. He felt peace of mind. With the back of his hand, he wiped out the tears which were flowing down his cheeks and beard. He stood up, took up the pickaxe, and restarted to dig the well.
My dear children, the time has come to deliver on that vow. Today, one of you should be sacrificed. go to your homes and bid farewell with your mother and sisters. Wash up, wear your best clothes, and use the best perfumes and rose waters. In an hour, we will all be destined for the Kaaba to see what fate has in store for us.
We, the people of Mecca, were more or less aware of Abdul-Muttalib's vow to God several decades ago, but no one took it seriously. Who would have believed that a man from among the leading figures of the Arabs would intend to sacrifice his son with his own hands? It was seen that some needy people, out of fear of abuse or captivity during the frequent tribal wars, buried their daughters alive, but this was never the case for their sons. Among Arabs, sons were the source of honor, wealth, and power of their father, and this helping hand in an advanced age. Sons were considered as the protectors of the life and assets of the family member. So who would have made such an imprudent act?
As I got informed of the news, I burst into tears and rushed to see Abdul-Muttalib. I told him what an ominous task he wanted to accomplish, but he said that this was a vow between him and God. I said, when you made this pledge, Haris already existed. So your vow to God doesn't include him.
But at that moment, I didn't exclude Haris from my mind.
Abdul-Muttalib could never break his vow to God. Hence, on that day, the residents of Mecca, upon hearing the news, stood still, waiting in astonishment. Those who had remained in the city until then gathered in groups, speaking about this case. The wives of Abdul-Muttalib called for the help of their relatives and leading figures to somehow prevent this incident. But there was no hope. Based on Arab tradition, fathers owned the lives of their children. Hence, no one could prevent a father from killing his own son, especially given that he was a leading tribal figure and his children were fully obedient. Close to noon, and the time of sacrifice was getting close. All of a sudden, those who had gathered ended their whispers upon hearing the screams of a barefooted child who informed of their arrival. Heads turned round toward the eastern gateway of the courtyard. Amid the particles of dust in the air, Abdul-Muttalib was approaching them wearing a black turban and a black cotton cloak. His sons were accompanying their father while wearing neat and beautiful clothes. Abdul-Muttalib's daughters were also coming along in tears. Mothers and sisters of Abdul-Muttalib's son were rushing around while pleading to him not to fulfill his vow. Meanwhile, the charismatic and relatively chubby Abdul-Muttalib stood tall and loomed over the crowd. He seemed so determined with his charming eyes that deterred any of the tribal leaders from approaching him. The sons of Abdul-Muttalib seemed calmer than others. They had realized that the best of them should be sacrificed. The majority of them were certain that Abdullah, their youngest brother, would be chosen. The rising impatience of Abdullah's mother and sisters was because of this very reason. Abdullah was the best youngster of Mecca. His well-shaped, tall, and smooth forehead had distinguished him from his brothers and peers. Abdul Muttalib had long focused on the behavioral patterns of his sons, choosing Abdullah for deliverance of his vow to God. On several occasions, Abdul Muttalib had imagined the scene of sacrifice of Abdullah bursting into tears. Now, Abdul Muttalib had realized his fondness for his beloved son. Meanwhile, Abdullah calmly followed his father and made every effort to calm down his mother and sisters. Also, his brothers called on Abdullah's mother to calm down. Dear listeners, here we have come to the end of today's episode. Don't forget to tune in next week. God bless you and goodbye.